Well, now we have discussed the objectives of the recruitment process. We have also done some introductory or groundwork in this particular understanding of the recruitment. Here's a bit of reiteration before we move ahead, or probably now we shall specifically look into some more details. This section which follows, that is this slide and the next few, we understand the workforce requisition, how it takes place, the sources of the recruitment, the kind of forecasting that goes into the generation of the pool of applicants, understand how to choose a particular source to generate a qualified pool of applicants, and understand the difference between the recruitment process and the selection. Of course, they are taken at times in the same breath. They are understood as aligned or similar processes, but yet there are several differences which we need to understand when we are developing a good amount of understanding of the subject of recruitment management. Well, friends, in the last slide, in a diagrammatic manner, we had looked at the particular discussion on this process as being a part, or a discussion of this process in a nutshell. Nutshell is nothing but a shorter version or a brief version of what this process is. So here we're continuing with this particular process in a nutshell and discuss the workforce requisition. In fact, if you recollect, in the very start, we had dedicated a few slides with an example of how a workforce requisition happens. This process basically, is one through which an approval is taken to initiate the recruitment. So there's a requirement, and then people from a specific department where the requirement is generated take an approval, and this triggers the recruitment process. The workforce plan provides for the overall estimate of the workforce for a year. So ideally, the number of people which are required over a year or annual, it is discussed or it is taken care of here. However, it is necessary to take specific approval to fill the vacancies. The manager in whose team, like we saw, the manager in the production department in the first example, require to fill two vacancies. So here the manager in whose team the vacancies have arisen initiates the process through this particular form, which is called as the workforce requisition form. So the workforce requisition form needs to be filled in order to trigger this particular process of recruitment. The concerned department head as well as the HR head must approve the same. So you see, there are certain key stakeholders in this process. They need to verify and validate if a requirement is genuine, if a requirement is really, it does it really need to be filled, or can the others support and fill the requirement internally, or there is no generation, there is no requirement for another entity to have a role there. So this is there are key stakeholders. Such stakeholders might be the head of that particular department or the HR head, or as well as the HR head. So these are the key entities which act as the stakeholders here. The CEO at times, if it's a small company, let us take the example of a company which is an entrepreneurial firm, which is a proprietorship. Let us take a case of a small training unit. As you're aware, nowadays there are a lot of private training and development companies which help organizations to enhance the productivity of their employees. So let us say a 50-employee company, and there is a requirement for a few training coordinators, or probably one training coordinator for one of their departments. Now, being a small company, that is a 50-employee company, which is a considerably small company when you consider it with a giant like a Wipro or an Infosys. So here, at times, the CEO must approve the request for any unbudgeted position. So here, if you notice, some positions are unbudgeted, as in they might extend the budget of a particular position. So sometimes the important stakeholders in small companies, the CEO can do so. In larger companies, probably the GM or the senior GM or the AVP can, be the entity or the stakeholder who can do so. So ideally here we have looked at the workforce requisition, how it is triggered, what are the, key areas that we need to understand, and why this is required as a part of the recruitment process. Now, once we have generated a requisition, it has triggered the recruitment process, it is validated by key entities. Now, the job for recruitment is they need to leverage, they need to utilize certain sources to generate a qualified pool of applicants. The recruitment people themselves cannot cater to all requirements. They need to take help from such different types of recruitment sources. So once this particular requisition has been approved, the HR manager or the team initiates the search. So the recruitment team actually initiates the search for such types of people who might prove to be a worthy match for the organization's requirements. Well, before starting the search for candidates externally, it is an ideal practice. Experienced and seasoned recruitment professions always do so. What they do is they try to look within the organization for suitable candidates. Let us take an example. One of the previous organizations where I worked for was KPIT Cummins, a Pune-based IT company, a medium-sized IT company which has several prominent clients. One of the processes there was BOSAP, that is Business Objects SAP. There were frequent requirements for process increments or ramp-ups, and the requirement for team managers. A lot of times, the senior engineers who worked possessed those management skills. They had a good knowledge of what went well for the team. At times when their team managers were absent, they used to look at or command or take leadership of their teams. This was noticed and observed by the higher management of this particular process. Now, when there were key requirements or when there were process expansion happening, so at that particular time, they always used to look. Where would they look? Here, they would look within. They would look within the organization for resources who would match better for the particular organization's roles and responsibilities. So, in this particular example which I've cited, they would post an IJP. They would simply post notices on their internal notice boards, which could be read by interested people, aspirants who wanted to move to the field of management and who wanted to actually take upon the leadership role by managing their teams. So ideally, if the external sources, of course, are required in some situations, but it is an ideal practice to look within one's organization for the suitable delegates or the suitable candidates. Thus, we naturally have a transition. The natural transition leads us to discuss about the internal methods, because in the previous slide, if you've noticed, we have discussed one should look within the organization for suitable candidates. Hence, we transition to the next slide with the topic of internal methods. Well, now let us look at what might these be. The organizations may decide to move people into open positions on the basis of their suitability. Now, there are certain factors which are looked upon when deciding the right match or when deciding the right suitability. What are those? The first being qualification. So if the role is managerial in nature, probably let us say the role of a team manager or a project manager, definitely this person would interface with clients, would probably represent the company in different seminars, different conferences, would require to utilize managerial education in order to have several managerial practices put up, and of course to handle the team in a proficient manner. So in that case, a qualification plays an extremely important role. So somebody from possessing a degree in management is the desired candidate here. The aspirants need to have, definitely they need to have experience. Qualifications alone cannot help people to command teams. They cannot help people to represent organizations at various forums. So hence experience is extremely important in this particular case. The next is the supervisor's recommendation, of course, how well the person performs in a team, how well has the person risen when there have been times of you can say problems. So how well the person has reacted to those particular times. So all this comes under the supervisor's recommendation or a particular endorsement done by the supervisor of that particular person. So these are certain ingredients which go into building up a case when it comes to internal methods of recruitment. So the next one is alternatively, the job can be advertised internally through the internal job posting or the IJP. Now, a beautiful example which I cited to you friends is the example of business objects, where they put in on the notice board the IJP. IJPs can also today be put technologically. Many companies are large. They have offices in several locations and branches. So let us say an IT company might have a requirement in Bangalore and they want to post it in order to, you know, expand or create better selection options. Internally, they can post it on their intranet. So many of the prominent in information technology companies, they possess this concept of the intranet, which is a network similar to the internet, which is accessible to the employees of that particular company. So let us say a job posting is there is a requirement in Bangalore for a senior sales manager in one of the IT companies, and the person interested is a part of the company. He is working currently in Kolkata and he is basically from Bangalore, but he did not get a job in Bangalore, so he had to work in Kolkata. Now that he sees this particular IJP, he will definitely try his best to get the opportunity so that he could come back to Bangalore. So IJPs can serve a purpose in many large companies to recruit from within. An IJP entails publicizing the open job to employees through the managers, through email, through communication meetings, notice boards, and as in our case, also the intranet or the company website or the company blog for that matter. So there are various ways and means through which people can be recruited under the umbrella of internal job postings or the IJPs. Now let us look at, we've discussed a lot about internally recruiting people, internally selecting them. What are the merits that go into the sourcing of candidates when done in this particular fashion? Well, the very first thing is we need to understand is there is absolutely no substitute for knowing the candidate's performance, the candidate's strengths, and the areas of development. Why? Because the candidate has been tried and tested on the home ground. The candidates are aware of what are the kind of processes which are running in the organization. Importantly, the candidates are aware of the organization's culture. Being working for, let us say, 6 months, a year, more than a year, yes, they are aware of the kind of mission and the kind of vision of the organization and also the objectives of the organization. So ideally, there is absolutely no substitute for knowing these kind of things if it's an external candidate. So with internal candidates, you are likely to have a more accurate view. They are aware, they're adept to work on certain systems that the company possesses. The supervisor of the particular candidate, the team members are all, you know, good, you can say, benchmarks. They are all good proofs of how a particular person has worked and would a particular person be fit or be suitable for that role. Commitment levels of internal candidates may definitely be higher as they are in line with the culture promotion itself is a motivational factor for them. A transfer to a location of choice is another great motivator. It encourages people. Hence, commitment levels of internal candidates may be higher. This statement comes true. Let us now move on. A few more merits that we shall discuss here are: internal candidates will have a better understanding of the organization and the industry and would therefore take less time to settle down. Yes, one more important thing that we need a mention here, we need to mention, sorry, is they would take less time to settle in. Let us take the example of person A, who's living in New York, and he is being shifted to Chicago. Although it's a new city for the person, but the organization is the same. Probably the systems that he's going to work on are similar, and being from the same company, just being different branches, more or less the culture is quite similar. So therefore, this person would take less time to settle down in the job. Training and orientation time will therefore be saved. If the person is working on similar systems internally, then it would take much lesser time to train this person than it would otherwise to take to train and develop a new person. The systems would be new, he would face new people, the culture would be new, and there would be no such motivating factors. The employee morale will rise. We've discussed this in the earlier slide, as they will see opportunities for job enhancement and growth. So being promoted is a part of some pride. The person will definitely be proud. The person will be paid more in such a case, and it will be a win-win situation both for the person as well as the organization. Well, now, along with the benefits, there are certain risks which are associated with this variety of recruitment. Let us look at what needs to be kept in mind by prospective recruiters, by people who are new to this field. Internal candidates who don't get the job may be demotivated. So, as we know, recruitment is generating a pool of candidates who are seen as prospective for a particular job role. Now, if that pool is done internally, if there's an IJP, there might be two positions for which 50 might apply. So, those 48 people who do not get the job, or if all 50 do not get the job, which is being posted, this might be a reason for discontent. This might be a reason for a sense of demotivation to arise in the minds of those particular delegates. Telling unsuccessful candidates why they are rejected and what remedial action they need to take is extremely critical. Otherwise, it might have a reverse effect. People might move out of the organization because of such disappointment. Maybe if not immediately, but in the near future. So it's instrumental, it's critical, it's extremely quintessential that certain remedial action needs to be taken so that you can appease people who are not or who've not been selected. This needs to be done on a very conscientious basis. This needs to be done very conscientiously, very subtly. It needs to be done in a very sensitive manner and requires the managers and interviewers' time. So, if you are saving time and money, if you are saving resources by trying to recruit internally, this process might backfire if there are a large number of people who fail to achieve this particular or fail to get this position. So, you need to appease these people, and this might eat away into your time. So, these are some of the risks associated with the process of internal recruitment. A few more points that one should keep in mind, we can call them as a risk associated. So, there could be a lot of candidates who apply for the position, and interviewing all of them could be a time-consuming exercise. Well, in an external kind of a situation, you can ideally ask for different resumes, and you can take the liberty of not interviewing most of them. You can select quite a few immediately if they fit the plan, but here, you need to interview all of those delegates because they are a part of your own organization. Inbreeding is another potential drawback. So, if managers of the same process are taken. They might pose their own methodologies in the future. There could be inbreeding, there could be competition there. So all this could be perceived as a foreseeable risk when you are looking at candidates from within. Now, friends, we have looked at the internal methods. Internal methods not being many as such, primarily looking at IJPs, that is internal job postings, similar to IJPs promotions and certain transfers. We've mentioned IJP in depth. We've also looked at the benefits of internal recruitment and certain limitations or certain risks associated with them. Now, in this next, sorry, in the next slide, as we see, and the subsequent slides, we shall discuss the external methods of recruitment. It is not always possible, as we've seen, to get all the employees from the current staff. Thus, a search for candidates has to be done externally. At times, the positions which come are niche, they cannot be filled by staff from within, or at times, the quantity differs. So, there might be more work and less employees. So, the existing staff cannot suffice to such increasing numbers. Hence, what needs to be done is they need to actually increase the number of people from outside. So, they need to recruit externally. Well, now, as a part of the external measures or the external sources of recruitment, that is understanding the recruitment process in a nutshell, we're diagrammatically going to discuss a few slides here. So, there are various sources of hiring candidates from the external market. In the previous slides, we have seen the internal sources. Now, let us look at an exhaustive list of the external sources, which far outweigh or which far outnumber the internal sources. The very first is the advertisement. Here, the choice of publication is critical. There are various ways and means you can do this. You can either publish the ad on newspapers if it is a niche requirement. Some companies, as I mentioned earlier, like Accenture or Oracle or Intel, they produce ads on the news, sorry, on the TV networks. There are, of course, campus recruitments. These are quite popular amongst the IT companies and some of the manufacturing companies. Internet job postings, which are now being very frequently used, they are getting more popular than the conventional ways and means. People can use walk-ins. Walk-ins also produce a major, you can say, source, can be seen as a major source of recruitment, requiring very few, very less time and efforts to generate. There are certain temping agencies that are temporary staffing agencies. There are local communities where organizations deliver their services. So these are some of the places where people can actually, or organizations, the recruitment process can actually recruit and use these as recruitment sources. Let us now move on to the factors that would impact the choice of source of recruitment, having seen the various sources of external recruitments. One of the factors is the kind of levels that we are targeting. These are the entry level, whether they are at the entry level, whether it's a mid-management level, or whether we are looking at recruiting senior managers. Now, with the levels come the complexities. If it's an entry level, there might be many people involved there, but then the recruitment might be quite simple. If it's the mid manager and the senior manager, there might be many nuances or many factors which might come into play when doing recruitment. And the consideration of source might vary here as well. Entry level things like the campus or a walk-in might be suitable. For a mid or a senior management level, ads need to be placed in a more sensitive manner, probably placed through some newspapers like The Ascent, or look at some passive recruitment through LinkedIn, which is a site to recruit people. Also, the scale of recruitment, whether it's a massive ramp up, like a large scale hiring, like a few companies like Infosys or ATOS Origin, which frequently have large ramp ups, or a few positions, maybe some niche positions in an R&D department or a production department of a mid-sized manufacturing company. Again, the recurrence, how will this have an occurrence, or the frequency of this position being recurrent? Is it a one-off kind of a frequency, or is the recruitment process an ongoing? Like, for example, in my field of training and development, we have continuous trainings from companies like ATOS Origin, which is an IT company. Here they have a continuous recruitment of software engineers, so it's not a one-off requirement. It's a monthly requirement where testers, entry-level software engineers, and entry-level QAs are recruited. So it's an ongoing kind of a requirement. So the recurrence is high in those particular cases. The time available now, certain positions are like hotcakes; they need to be filled in immediately. Certain positions are demanded by clients or customers, wherein those positions need an immediacy, or they need to be filled on an emergency basis. Certain positions like successor planning, or certain positions which do not require an urgency but require a planned time. Also, a prime factor here is the kind of costs incurred. So certain positions which are an entry-level position, which can be easily filled through a one-day walk-in, wherein you get 100 delegates are filled up in a matter of hours through a walk-in without much cost incurring. So those would be minimal. Certain in places like niche positions where there is a heavy cost incurring, where people need to book banquet halls or conference rooms, they need to get in touch with people, they need to do headhunting for people, they need to pay multiple agencies for procuring of such people. All these come under the planned costs. So levels, the scale of recruitment, the recurrence factor, the time availability for such recruitment to happen, and the particular costs are some of the prominent or some of the prime factors which impact the choice of the source of recruitment. And of course, along with the last slide that we've seen, let us move back. Along with the kind of choices that we have, the various sources, along with these, they also form an integral part of recruitment process discussed, as we are saying, in a nutshell. Let us quickly move ahead now. Now, in order to understand this process, even though we are understanding it in a nutshell, we need to create a differentiation between the recruitment and the selection process. Now, although I've mentioned frequently, it's taken in the same breath, there are quite a few similarities that there are in these particular processes, yet they have their own subtle differences. Now, what are these differences? Let us take a look. Let's start with recruitment, which is ideally a process where people conduct the search for aspirants, for prospective delegates and candidates for employment. And there is a need to stimulate. Stimulation is nothing but the encouragement to create a particular action for them to apply for the jobs in the organization. So ideally, what happens is there's a certain stimulus created. There's a certain call for action which is created in this particular process of recruitment. Vis-a-vis, what happens in selection? Let us take a look. Selection involves the series of steps by which the candidates are screened by choosing the most suitable persons for vacant positions. Let's work with certain examples. Let us take the case of a company. Let's take in this case an electronics company, which is LG Electronics, a prominent company based out of Korea, which has its branches in India. Now, they are selecting finance professionals for their particular company, and the positions are five. So, five numbers are required for accountants and finance professionals. Now, when it comes to recruitment, what they do is they generate a pool of at least 25 to 30 prospective candidates. They encourage these people to come for interviews, wherein these people are then subjected to various levels of selection through the interviews. Now, what happens is people are screened. Some of them might pass on their CVs or their resumes, where some of them might fail to meet the qualification and the experience criteria, hence a filter. So they are screened there. Some of them might eventually come to meet with the HR people, wherein they might be screened for some other purposes. Eventually, some of the people might be screened by operations. So selection ideally is seen as a negative kind of a process where people are eliminated, whereas recruitment is seen as a stimulating or an encouraging or a positive kind of a process. Well, let us move to the next slide to develop a better understanding of these two processes, the kind of differences that exist. There are certain, you know, there is a basic process or a purpose of recruitment, and as mentioned in the previous slide, it is to create a talent pool of candidates to enable the selection of best candidates for the organization. Time and again in this chapter, it has been a kind of a reiteration, or it has been a kind of learning reinforcement for us to understand this fact, so that you know, you understand recruitment well. And as mentioned in the previous slide, recruitment thus being a positive process, because we are building up on a pool. We are trying to channelize the energies of people. We are trying to energize people to join our organization. Contrary to this particular process is the basic purpose of the selection process, where there is a right match which needs to be done by creating filters to fill the various positions in the organization. Hence, when we are filtering people, when we are, you know, creating deductions, when we are eliminating people from that pool, it becomes definitely a process which is negative in nature. So that's the prime difference between recruitment and selection. Well, another slide where we discuss the differences is, recruitment is basically concerned with tapping the sources of a human resource. Here there is no contract of recruitment established. So in this process, there is no contract of recruitment, whereas selection is concerned with selecting the most suitable candidate through various interviews and tests. Of course, there is an elaborate number of interviews and tests which we are going to discuss in the later chapters. So you need to understand that there is a particular contract which is involved in selection. This the contract is you know, a service between the employer and the selected employee. The employee then becomes bound to the organization in a legal manner. In recruitment, it is not so.